Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Sway Monday. If you have opened the message from an archive source, we ask that you please be reminded we're on a live teleconference call. That means that people will be dialing in from all over the place, and we will give them a few minutes, 3 to 5 or so, before we get started with the message. And anytime, you digital listeners, anytime you would like to join us live on Mondays and Fridays, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. That spells free me on your telephone keypad. If you want to know more about our ministry and ways to support us, please go to freedomswayministries.com. So while we're waiting to get started, who would like to say hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mitch.
And Helen.
Hi, Helen. How are you?
Pretty good.
Praise God. Praise. Hi, Charles. Thanks for coming.
Hi, Vicki. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, Marie.
Welcome, Marie.
Thank you.
Hi, Vicki. That's Judy.
Hey, Judy. I got your note today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And this is Mark.
Mark, welcome. Welcome, welcome. My pastor and accountability person. Good Lord.
Hi, Ms. Vicki. Pastor Bill.
Pastor Bill.
Hi, Vicki.
Are you on
Bill.
The road? Hey,
no,
Mitch. Are you on the road?
No, ma'am. I'm on vacation right now, sitting here with my father.
Praise the Lord. And
yeah, thank
I
you,
apologize
Jesus. Yes, ma'am.
You know, I apologize about Kitty not being there today, but you wouldn't have wanted her there since she is ill.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I talked to her the other day and stuff, and she gave me a call. I think she's I'm going to try to get back with me on Wednesday. I think she's there.
Great. Praise the Lord.
Well, yeah, thank you, sis. Thank you for the blessing. I think it's going to be fine, yeah.
You're welcome. Who else wants to say hello before I mute your telephones?
Hello, Annette.
Hi, Annette. Welcome.
Hi. Good evening from Steve and Cindy.
Thank you, Steve and Cindy. Got your card today. Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you both.
Anybody else before I mute your telephones? Okay, for anyone who is new on the line, I am going to mute your phone. What that means is you'll still be able to hear us, but you won't hear any feedback. You won't hear background noise in anybody's home. So hold on. Okay, I am Vicki Burdett. I am here with my husband, Phil. Say hello.
Hello.
And we are Freedom's Way Ministries. We thank you for joining us tonight. Our mission at Freedom's Way is to help you come into your true identity, cast off the labels of the world and the lies of hell, and move in the power and purity for which God created you. And if there is something that we can do to help you do that, we will make ourselves available to you. So, Father God, we yield ourselves to you tonight, and we say, come, increase your Holy Spirit anointing on this word tonight. Thank you for teaching us about your anointing and how to understand it, how to move in it, to fulfill our purpose in you and our destiny in the world, to fulfill the purpose of your anointing. And Lord, I turn aside any assignment of hell that would seek to defile, corrupt, interrupt, disturb, or otherwise hinder what you want to accomplish. And I just ask that if anything is said tonight that is not your word, your will, or your way, that you just remove it from our minds and from our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, this is our fourth week in these messages about the anointing of God. It just keeps growing and getting better. It's remarkable how much there is to know and how much there is yet to learn about the Lord and the deeper things of God, which we've been talking about for months now. We have been recently discussing strengthening the inner man and some of the hindrances that keep us from releasing the anointing of God effectively. These are fears that seem to hinder us when it comes to the things of God. And before we get into the meat of our session tonight, we'd like to briefly examine what might possibly be the most debilitating block to releasing the anointing that a person can experience. And that is not having the right heart attitude. If we go about trying to release God's anointing into a situation and we are not in a proper attitude of the heart, what we usually end up releasing is something other than God's anointing and purpose. Words and actions that are carried on a wrong spirit can be damaging rather than healing. You've heard it said, hurting people hurt people. And you might have heard someone say, oh, well, I've got my heart right. Or if they're speaking about someone else, his heart's not right. So how do you know if your heart is right? So we're going to take a short look at a right heart attitude according to Scripture, and then you can use this as a foundation to study it out more closely. Hallelujah.
Amen. Good word. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 11. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and they say, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Hallelujah. And these verses are the beginning of what we consider to be the constitution of the kingdom of God. If you live in a country, it's good to know the foundation. the culture and the laws of that place so that you can live prosperously and successfully there. We live in the world, but we are not part of the world, right?
That's right.
Well, if we're not part of the world, then we are part of someplace else, correct?
Yeah.
Thank you. That someplace else is the kingdom of God. Therefore, we need to know the culture, the foundation, and the laws of the kingdom, of the kingdom order, to be a good citizen and representative of it in the world.
Amen.
The constitution of the kingdom is laid out by Jesus in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. These first 11 verses describe the proper heart attitudes we are to develop and demonstrate. They are vital to the anointing. So let's look at each one, honey.
Okay.
First and foremost, we must be humble. Ta-da! That means poor in spirit. The expression of this heart attitude would be to take the attitude and the approach of humility in every situation. You know, I've heard it said more than once, you cannot pick a fight with a humble man. And it's a fact. Not being puffed up in any way. Not being, well, I know more than you, or I'm more important than you. How about this one? I'm right, you're wrong. Humility is one of the three core attributes, in our opinion, of the character of God. Those are love, truth, and humility. And interestingly enough, truth and humility can both be found in love. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, love is not puffed up. The second attitude we need is openness to the Holy Spirit and to others in the body of Christ in our times of sadness and disappointment. This is a tender vulnerability. I mean, it really, you know, it's a stretch for people. It says, we need you, God, and we need each other. And again, this is a demonstration of humility. Humility reveals itself when we're willing to seek the comfort we need in our times of need. Humility denies the lie that tells you, well, I can handle it. I don't need anybody's help. Humility admits our weaknesses. It doesn't dig in and cause us to think we're strong and we're not going to appear weak to anybody. There are times in our lives when we need to stop trying to fix things, folks, and simply admit we need help.
Amen.
Be vulnerable. The next attribute is meekness. There's that humility again. Meekness is great strength under control. It is taking the approach of humility even when you know you're right. You don't have to be wrong to repent. I will say that again. You don't have to be wrong to repent. God will justify you. In meekness, we have the position of strength. We're confident in our position of power, yet we choose not to use it against others, which could bring possible harm to the body.
Amen. The fourth heart attitude Jesus mentioned is a hunger and thirst for righteousness. He did not mean self-righteousness. In other words, seeking righteousness is not doing every religious thing we can think of. It's a sincere yearning to know Jesus from the inside out, not the outside in. Righteousness is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing. Earnestly longing for Jesus to be revealed in our lives every day and in every way is what we're after. Hallelujah. Next, the Lord said we need to show mercy. That translates to having compassion on others, those who may not be where you are or we are spiritually, financially, emotionally, or intelligently, wherever, whatever it might be.
Amen.
God bent down to us. We should bend down to others. Mercy is not pity, and it's not lip service. I'll pray for you, brother. Mercy compels us to action. That is what true compassion does. So I guess it means if you're going to say you'll pray for them, that you do. Hallelujah. Amen. Mercy is serving your neighbors, struggling with his push mower to cut his grass in 100-degree heat, and hopping on your rider to do it for him. Mercy is seeing the young mother standing at the bus stop in the rain with her baby and stopping to give her your umbrella or give them a ride across town. That is mercy. Mercy is love in action. That is the attitude of the heart that Jesus desires for us and the one which moves the anointing to flow. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. Next, Jesus said we are to be pure in heart. That simply means having pure motives. Not doing or speaking things because your actions or your words may bring some personal or selfish result. Get manipulation out of your life.
Amen.
A person who is pure in heart never thinks, "What's in it for me?" Ouch. Purity in heart is being motivated by love for God and love for his people. It's being a servant leader, one who can love and serve others without hope of gain. This is a real litmus test. The sixth thing Jesus said about attitude is to be a peacemaker. Well, I just want to tell you, a peacemaker is different from a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper is someone who is going to go along to get along. A peacekeeper is a person who doesn't want anybody to be upset. A person who compromises the truth and compromises righteousness to maintain peace within a relationship. In a home, in a church body, in the community, wherever. Peacekeepers usually are compromisers, and compromise is the condition where nobody gets what they want. Think about it. Peacekeepers avoid confrontation by compromising integrity. But a peacemaker, on the other hand, while not intentionally confrontational, does not avoid confrontation. Peacemakers will always stand firm for truth and righteousness and bring others into a revelation of truth and righteousness that will sooner or later be the seed of change that will grow and blossom and change the situation. That's a peacemaker.
Amen. And lastly, Jesus told us that right heart attitude is to be joyful no matter what. We are to rejoice when persecutions come, when the pressures press in on us, when people ridicule us for our faith and our faithfulness. Rejoice. Victory and power result from every false accusation that we patiently endure, not reviling again and not attempting to defend ourselves or to justify our actions. This becomes and reveals the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Amen. Heaven translates the place of happiness, power, and eternity. When we can overlook other people's wrong heart attitudes and not bow down to them while maintaining a right heart attitude through the persecution they bring, then the anointing of God can truly flow from within us.
Thank you, Lord.
It will be like a river of living water that refreshes our souls and the lives of those around us. Hallelujah. God is good. We all need a greater flow of God's power in our lives. That bondage-breaking, yoke-destroying power starts with a right heart attitude.
Amen.
The anointing will cause a change for the better. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's what the Holy Ghost is best known for, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the grave. So where is that power now?
Aha. Where is that power? Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It is absolutely essential that we all understand the tongue is a primary way we can release God's anointing. The power of death is in the tongue, and the power of life is in the tongue. Our words can release the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit to revive lives, help, gifts, dreams, and visions from heaven. What we speak to you as God's people will either kill you spiritually or it will bring you life spiritually. If we speak from a religious spirit, it will kill you. If we speak from the anointing of God, it will make you alive. The same thing is true for you. It is true for every one of us. Our words carry life or they bring destruction. Consider the account of Jesus and Lazarus. We are going to read this from the book of John in chapter 11. You may think it's a little lengthy. I'm going to ask Phil as he reads it not to rush through it, because I want you really to engage. I want you to listen. If you have your Bibles, open them up and follow along. You already know the story, but hang in with us, because God said he would follow his word with signs. And it's very likely there are a few things in all of our lives that need to be resurrected by the anointing of God through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So here we go, John 11, verses 11 through 45. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest, of rest and sleep. They thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the graves 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe you this? She said unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calls for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but he was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take you away the stone, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you hear me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go.
Hallelujah, Lord.
There are a few things that we want to look at in this account. First of all, if you're in your Bible, go up to verse 15. Jesus said he was glad that he wasn't there at Lazarus' bedside to heal him. That's strange. I mean, maybe that may seem a little strange, especially since Jesus loved this man. He was his friend. Sometimes we feel as if the Lord isn't where he should be, doing what he should be doing, which is what we want done, by the way. We think he's let something die in our lives when he could have done something about it. Maybe it's a gift we used to enjoy flowing out of us. Maybe it's a dream or a vision of something that God revealed to us years ago. Whatever it is, we blame him for letting it die. And here Jesus is saying, I'm glad I wasn't there. Why? Well, so we will believe in his resurrection power. He knew what he was going to do all along. We're the ones that thought he was wrong. We know if he's with us, he can heal the broken heart. He can restore the broken dreams, the broken gifts. But we're not so sure he can resurrect them. Ouch. That's where the disciples were, and that's where many of us are even today. It seems it's been too long with nothing happening. It's just not moving. The thing stinks by now. It's not even fresh dead. It's stinky dead.
Okay, amen. So then let's look at verse 21 through 24 again. Martha is also accusing Jesus of not caring. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. But she gives him the opportunity to redeem himself, so to speak. She says, but I know God will give you whatever you want. I don't know, maybe a little manipulative.
Perhaps.
The implication is maybe you can still do something. Religion seems to be the spirit Martha used in the accusation. Then religion steps in again to answer Jesus when he said, your brother is going to rise again. And she responds, oh yeah, I know he's going to rise again in the resurrection.
At the last day.
You see, religion leaves dead things dead now. There's nothing that can be done until Jesus comes back. And until Jesus comes back, we're all going to be living in a messed up world that will just keep getting more and more evil. That is religious thinking and a defeatist attitude. That is not resurrection power.
It's lazy Christianity.
Religious thinking is another thing that will hinder our ability to release the anointing of God. And folks, we are going to live in victory or we are going to live in defeat. Amen?
Yeah, you get to decide, you know. You know, religion leaves things dead now. Jesus said, wrong answer. Thank you for playing.
Joy of the Lord.
He then explains, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Then you can skip down to verse 32. Mary comes along, and Mary says exactly the same thing her sister said. But her words were not carried on a religious spirit. They were carried on a broken one, a broken and contrite heart. They came out of a heart of worship. She fell at his feet and wept. They came out of a heart of need and a heart of recognition. This is a proper heart attitude. And you can tell because Jesus' response to Mary was totally different from his response to Martha. He felt Mary's sorrow, and he did not correct her. He actually joined her and the others in their sorrow, he wept. He wept with compassion for them. Even though he knew what he was about to do and how he would bring them from sorrow into great joy. Wow. Then once again in verse 39, that religious spirit and Martha speaks up. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. It's too late. We hear that in our thoughts too, don't we? It's too late for me. I'm washed up. The dream is dead. The vision stinks. It must not have been God I heard after all. Jesus responds to Martha, "Didn't I tell you, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" Oh, church, isn't Jesus speaking that even today and into our own situations? What's wrong with us that we don't believe? Is it fear of smelling death? Is it the fear of being wrong? Is it that we're so used to walking by sight, we don't know how to walk by faith? Is it that we are so indoctrinated with religion we can't truly develop relationship with the Lord? Or is it something else? I'm not pretending that we have the answer. Everybody's answer is going to be different. But I can assure you, we know the one who does know the answer. And when you think about it truly, the why doesn't matter. What matters is, what are we going to do about coming out of the death throes of unbelief and into the anointing that revives us again?
How about today? How old are you?
What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to move in it. Going to walk in it. Jesus says we can see the glory of God when we believe. When we believe, we are anointed. When we believe, we can release the anointing without fear and without wrong heart attitude. When we move in the anointing with pride or deception or a religious spirit, that is when we'll see the... I'm saying something wrong here. When we move in the anointing without pride or deception or religious spirit, hallelujah, that's when we will see the glory of God. I knew I didn't say that right. That didn't sound right at all. Praise the Lord. But that does. Hallelujah. In verse 43, Jesus releases the anointing of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, with his words, "Lazarus, come forth." He didn't hesitate, and he didn't beg. He simply spoke. He thanked God for hearing him before he spoke, and then he spoke. The anointing was released, and Lazarus came out of the grave. Then, in a somewhat interesting turn of events, he included his disciples in the miracle of resurrection. Loose him. Lazarus' hands, his feet, and his face were wound around with grave clothes. His productivity, his walk, and his sight were all limited. He was alive again, but he was still bound. Some of us have had dreams in the past or appointments from God, appointed tasks or assignments, and we've let them die. Then along came a prophet who released the anointing and spoke resurrection life into that thing. We got all excited at first, but nothing ever happened. The dream didn't materialize. It never went anywhere because we left it in grave clothes. It was still bound and couldn't move. We kept waiting for God to do it all. See, we would just sit back and bask in the victory of the glory of God. But the dream was still bound, and God expected us to lose it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Still bound in the grave clothes. That's quite a revelation.
Amen.
Probably for more than one of us. The anointing of God has breathed over you into your dreams and gifts and abilities and talents, and you've left them bound in grave clothes. No wonder they still speak. The spoken word of the living God is anointed. When it is released, it cannot be stopped. That means that for those who have had new life breathed into dreams, relationships, family issues, health issues, whatever, the anointing of God is still there. But we may still have to take off the grave clothes. There can yet remain something that binds us. A false belief or a spirit of unbelief. Maybe it's compromise. Maybe it's fear. Whatever it is, that thing enwraps itself around us, keeps us from enjoying the resurrected life that Jesus died to give us. As a disciple of Christ, it's up to each one of us to unwrap the life within us that is resurrected by the anointing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that revelation. It's in our hands, Lord, and thank you that you put it there and that you give us a choice every day. Hallelujah. Jesus released the anointing by his word. We can too. However, we have to ensure we seek life and not death.
Amen.
Rather than death and not life. Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles." The word keeps means to guard, not just check in once in a while. We're to actually guard our mouth, that our words are pure. We guard our tongue like a military sentry at his post. If the word is not one of love, truth, and humility, it must not be allowed to pass our lips.
Amen.
Wow. We all need to decide and determine with clarity that nothing which will defile us or others will pass our lips, that nothing which would corrupt the flow of God's anointing will come from our mouths. We will not speak words of death that produce the poisonous fruit of bondage and brokenness. What comes out of our mouths should be carefully crafted words of anointing that bring resurrection life to people and situations. Amen. It's astounding how people can hear an anointed message from God and then leave the meeting and speak death over it.
Yeah.
And you know, that's rather easy to do because it's natural.
So the devil gets in there. And there you go.
But we're learning to walk in the supernatural.
Amen.
And to overcome and to step over these things. People that speak doubt, fear, condemnation over an anointed word of God, maybe not even intentionally, but effectively nonetheless.
Pastor. And you go out, and whoever you're walking out of the church with says, "Oh, that was a great word you just got," but don't get your hopes up.
That kind of kills it, right? Oh, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't get my hopes up. That's why we go and agree with it. This is kills the word or kills the anointing. It kills the word. And it makes it dormant and renders it ineffective. You know, like if you have been spoken and you receive. Don't doubt. Don't inject words of doubt. I've done it myself. Hallelujah. Rather than drawing from the anointing on the word, some people will disregard, ignore, or doubt it. Or, and maybe this is worth, they'll neglect to remove the grave clothes from it.
Wow.
They will leave it for another time or place, or wait for God to supernaturally bring it to pass.
I didn't take the grave clothes off. Loose them and let them go, yourself included. As you've learned already, in order to be a disciple of Christ, the Anointed One, we have to discipline ourselves in His Word and in His truth, which strengthens our inner man. The Word of God is life. It is spirit, and it is truth. The anointing can be released through the spoken word out of a pure heart attitude. Just as learning to develop the right attitudes can help us develop the ability to release the anointing, learning to guard our mouth and our tongues so that we speak life words and not death words, that does the same thing. We are all anointed, but we have not yet fully developed the ability to release God's anointing on a consistent day-by-day basis. So I am going to ask Phil to lead you through a prayer of repentance, and we're going to get rid of a few more hindrances in our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen. So life gets exciting. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask that you repeat after me and say it out loud.
Engage your heart. This is not just words you're saying. This is something that you believe. If you don't believe it, don't speak it.
Amen. So we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to repeat it into the atmosphere as we go along here. So Father God, I ask you to forgive me
for any time
I have neglected to demonstrate a right heart attitude.
Forgive me, Lord.
I want my heart right, Lord. So that I can release your anointing. In service to others. Forgive me, Lord, for pride. That has prevented me. From showing humility. And forgive me for fear of vulnerability. Which has prevented me. From accepting. The comfort.
Of your Holy Spirit.
And the comfort of others. Forgive me, Lord. For insisting. On my right to be right. And for being my own defender. And justifier. Father, give me a new and deeper hunger and thirst. For Jesus. The true righteousness.
Give me a deeper hunger and thirst for Jesus, the true righteousness.
Amen. And forgive me. For self-righteous attitudes.
And actions.
I repent to you, Lord, for times I've not shown mercy and times I've acted out of selfish motives or what's in it for me point of view. Father, I recognize and I repent. To you. For being a peacekeeper rather than a peacemaker. I am sorry, Lord. that I have compromised your word and your truth just to keep the peace. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing spirits of self-pity.
Forgive me, Lord, for allowing spirits of self-pity
and victimization.
And victimization
to reign in my heart.
To reign in my heart
and in my life.
And in my life.
Because of the persecutions.
Because of the persecutions
and abuses that I've suffered. Help me take the words, it's not fair, out of my vocabulary. Lord, I can see there are some things in my life that I have let die. And I repent to you for that. I repent for denying your resurrection power to revive them. I repent for neglecting the anointed words. Neglecting that have been spoken over my life and my family. Forgive me, Father, for yielding to the oppression of the enemy rather than using your anointing to destroy the yoke of bondage. I can see that I allowed a religious spirit to influence me. And I ask to be delivered from its influence. I want to be like Mary.
I want
to come to you with a worshipful heart of humility. I need to see the glory of God in my life and in the lives of others. Lord, I want to be a part of the church that operates in power, not the church that just operates. Help me guard my words, so that I speak life and not death. Lord, so the anointing can flow uncorrupted. Give me the courage to remove the grave clothes of neglect and unbelief from my gifts and talents and abilities. Give me the courage to remove the grave clothes of unforgiveness and bitterness from my broken, unhealed relationship. Give me the courage, Lord, to remove the grave clothes of religion from the anointing that you put inside me to help and to heal those in need. Help me, Father, to release your anointing, to unwrap the bindings from my resurrected life, and to unwrap others from the winding bands that have them bound and blind. And I declare the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is all powerful and effective to accomplish all I ask. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want to just sweep up in case there's something hanging on. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever generational cords of iniquity and evil soul ties that may have held anything in place in your life to hinder that prayer. I cut through those cords completely, and I send back in the spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. I tear down and bind that stronghold of pride that would have you defending yourself. And I cast out any spirit of fear, of vulnerability, self-defense, or self-protection in the name of Jesus Christ. I send those things to the pit, that burning coals fall on them, and they cannot rise again. I speak now to self-righteousness and selfishness, spirits of compromise, self-pity, victimization. You have no place in the body of Christ, and these people have broken agreement with you in this prayer. You have to go. Come up and out from every cell in their bodies, every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart. Loose them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, I cast out every religious spirit, everything I have named. I send you into the consuming fire of God. Our God is a consuming fire. I speak to neglect, unbelief, unforgiveness, and bitterness. Get up, get out, and go in the name of Jesus. And I cancel all cell memory of anything I have named that has hindered you from flowing consistently on a day-by-day basis in the anointing of God. I cancel those cell memories, and I cast those spirits into the pit according to the word and the truth of the living God. And Father, I ask that you fill us now, Lord, in every place where there was those spirits of compromise, complacency, neglect, unbelief, oh God, fear, pride, and anywhere, anything that has left your people, Lord, fill that place now, that we are not empty, swept and garnished, but we are full of every fruit of your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your love, Lord. Your joy, your peace, patience, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. Fill us, Lord God, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Fill us with your purity and your power. In the name of Jesus, we receive. We receive a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit to nurture the fruits of the Spirit in us. Show us, Lord, how to tap into and bring forth that river of living water that flows from the throne of God in us and out of our belly. Where the river flows, there is life. Thank you, God, that you have afforded us. You have given us this great honor to carry your glory. Let us not touch it, but release it, bringing heaven to earth. In the mighty and majestic name of Yeshua, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Take a breath. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. God, you are good. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you have a comment or a question, if you would like to say something tonight or just tell me that you are here, if I don't know that already, whatever, push your star six keys. That will give, that will put you back into the conference. Your phone will be unmuted or your line. And at that point, if you need to mute yourself out again, you can use the mute button on your phone. Hallelujah.
Hi, Phil and Vicki. This is Finn.
Hi, Finn. Welcome.
I jumped out of the shower at 8:35. I thought, oh, I bet it's close to time. So I got in just after you had muted, and so I've heard the whole thing. It was great. I really enjoyed it.
Hallelujah.
And I prayed
Thank you.
With the whole prayer at the end. And,
Hallelujah.
And God's going to move on me. God moved on me tonight. And many
Amen.
Of the things.
Freedom. Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God.
Hello, Vicki. It's Joan. I just only got 15 minutes, but I was able to pray that powerful, beautiful prayer. And I just praise the Lord. It really helped me and really needed it. Thank you. And I was hoping maybe you could send me the teaching when you get a chance, Vicki. And I know Rick had talked to me. He was going to his cabin, but I know he needs it too, and he wants it. Okay, so anyway, thank you. But it was wonderful.
Okay, yeah, I will have the playback recording tomorrow. They'll send it to me sometime overnight, and I will get that link to you. And also, if anybody on the line would like links to any of these, this was the fourth message in the anointing series. So if you want links to the other messages, they are available. Just shoot me a little text. My number is 904-993-2876. And let me know, you know, if you want tonight, last week, all four, whatever you want. I'll be glad to send them to you. Thank you, Joan.
Thank you. And I only have the two. I wouldn't mind the first two, but I mean, I'd love to have the first two. But like I said, that would be great. And I don't know, when anybody else that hasn't been here, I think Rick, he would want it too. But I just want to mention I'm moving this week, so thanks for your prayers. That's why I'm not on the line, but thanks for praying. Wednesday's a big day. Love you. Bye.
Amen. Amen. And when you have an opportunity, just text me your new address so that I have it, please.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'll do that tonight. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Anybody else?
Am I on there, sis? Thank you, brother and sister.
You're welcome, Mitch.
Thank you, brother and sister. I'm coming back on the Harley right now. I hope I ain't too loud. I'm just coming from the north side. I'm riding on the scooter right now. But what a blessing. Thank you, guys.
God bless you. Safe travel.
I got my helmet on. I can hear you through my helmet. Okay. Y'all have a great night. God bless. Thank you, brother and sister.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Who else had something? Someone said something.
No, I just thanked you both, Charles.
God bless you. God bless
Good
you, brother.
Stuff. Good stuff.
You're welcome.
Minister.
Praise the Lord. Glad to have you with us, Brett.
Amen.
Okay.
Hey,
is there
hi,
a note?
Sue.
Hey, Sue. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad I got on when I did. And the prayer really, it was God. I was already reading something about the tongue, and I went, oh, I'm not on the call yet. And I get on the call, and right away Phil's talking about the tongue, and I went, okay. It was pretty cool. So,
Amen.
God's timing is good. And that's a pretty
Amen.
Cool helmet he's got. If he can, I didn't hear any noise from the bike. That was pretty cool. So,
yeah,
you can listen at any time.
Yes, we can. Hallelujah.
Yeah, and I'm on a Harley too. I'm on a noisy Harley. But yeah, it's quiet on the helmet. Pretty quiet. It's all built into the helmet. Got the microphone in it and everything. Pretty neat.
Amazing.
What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. Yeah, it is. I'm riding the Harley. I just came from the north side. Probably traveled about 15 miles. I can hear and talk on it pretty good. But thank you, brother.
Yeah,
sister.
I remember. It was 17 miles from Phil's house to mine. And we were all in the same city.
What a blessing, all this technology.
Amen. Anybody else got something to say before Pastor Phil prays us out or in or seals this word and blesses us tonight? Anybody?
Hi, it's Kathy.
Oh, Kathy, I'm so glad you were here.
I am too. I'm glad that I was able to come in right in time. And actually, I love the word today. It's a confirmation. And I would just like to say how beautiful humility is, how God will just pour in his anointing the more we humble ourselves before him, and with meekness to receive the implanted word that would bring life to anyone who hears it. And so I'm glad that I'm here today. So thank you for the word.
Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. And have a wonderful day.
Yeah. My friend Jane is here too.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord.
So good morning, so everyone from this side of the earth.
Yes. Good morning from the other side of the world. And we're in night, of course, but they're in morning. So thank you for joining us this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Okay.
This is Finn back. If you could send me this night again, I'd sure like to hear this over again.
Okay, I'll do it.
Also, we'll be repeating it on Friday night.
I could listen to
it. Yeah, we do that too, either way.
Okay.
Both
send
ways.
It to me, because I might be at the worship room Friday night. If you'd send it,
okay.
I'd appreciate it.
Amen. All right, brother. God bless.
All right.
Thank you, Father, for your word. Seal it deep in our hearts, Lord. Have this be a life changing word. Thank you, Lord. Let us be conscious of our ways. You said consider your ways. And so we are considering our ways, and Lord, we are humble before you. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for your resurrection power that's being released through our lives. Thank you, Lord. You are good. We worship you, my Father. Hallelujah. As Aaron, the high priest of Israel, the people of God, in the Old Testament, in Numbers, the 6th chapter, blessed the children of Israel, the people of God, I bless you tonight with the Aaronic benediction in Hebrew and in English. God bless you as you receive. Hallelujah. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmarecha Yair Adonai panav elecha yifunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha V'yesem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we are so grateful for your blessing tonight. We just thank you that you're encamping your angels around your people this week. My God-filled, glorious week as world changers, Lord, with your power, with signs following, your power and anointing as they go about. Be present, be clear in their hearts, Lord, that they hear you clearly and that they can do mighty exploits through you, through your anointing, in this week, in this day, in the mighty, precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, keep us in a right heart attitude. For those who want to join us on our morning call, we'll be here at 7:15 in the morning. For you guys in the Philippines, at 7:15 tomorrow night. Or tonight. Yeah, it would be tonight for you. In the morning for us. And also, this message will be repeated on our Friday night call at 8:30 Eastern Time. So, God bless you all. Have a great night's sleep. And you guys halfway around the world, have a good day.
God bless you all. Thank you. God bless you all. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Bye.
God bless you all.
God bless you all.
Have a beautiful day.
Bye, everybody. It was wonderful.
It was.
Good night.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Good night, y'all.
Good night.